Good morning and welcome to Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning on behalf of our producer, Mr. Justin Barker. We'd like to thank you for listening in. We also would like to thank our program sponsor, Mr. Chris Bogenreef of NAI United. Folks, we're well into the college football season. Here we are, September 9th already. The schedule is moving along quickly, and fall is just around the corner. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by a first-time guest as we enter a new academic school year. We're joined by Jose Pabon. Jose serves as the leading executive at Smithfield Foods right here in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm thrilled to have you in with us. I've been looking forward to this interview for a long time. Jose, welcome to Grow Siouxland.
No, thank you, Chris. And I want to say hi to out there, anyone that could be listening. Extremely fortunate and blessed to be here. Just want to thank you for the opportunity you've given me to speak out to the public.
So, Jose, as the leading executive at Smithfield here in Sioux City, I want to be clear about what your title is.
Yeah, so my title, it is a plant manager for our facility.
And as the plant manager, you oversee how many employees right here in this community?
Yeah, so our facility extends anywhere from 650 positions all the way up to about 850 positions for the Siouxland area.
Well, in the second half of the program, Jose, we're going to talk extensively about Smithfield Foods, and some of the listeners might know Smithfield Foods better as its previous name, which was Curly's.
Correct.
And has a long, decades-long history in our Siouxland community. But before we get there, each Saturday, we try and introduce our guest speaker to the listening audience. You have a fascinating background. I've enjoyed getting to know you. Tell the listeners about where you grew up.
Yeah, so first thing I will say, you know, I think as just human nature, we all probably need to look at life in a way that, you know, no one says it's going to be easy. No one says it's going to be fair. And at that point, you have to understand that at that point, you just make that choice on what bucket you want to be part of. You know, do you want to be in that victimized bucket or that winner bucket? For me, I can say that with an amazing country like Puerto Rico, that's where I'm originally from. I grew up there. The unfortunate part, even though it's such a great area to vacation, is that it doesn't have the attributes of our amazing country here in the United States, where you have all the different backgrounds and social classes. You know, you either are in extreme poverty or you have the means to provide. I unfortunately grew up in that area where the means weren't there, so grew up in the project, single mom to four children. I was the oldest of four. Unfortunately, my father had taken a different path in life with crime and drugs, and the environment we were surrounded with in the project was not compelling to raise any kids. So, you know, my mom, which is literally our queen still today, she did everything she could to keep us out of trouble. But that was not an easy task. You know, as a Christian woman, she did everything to induce us and educate us and try to guide us in the right way, only to open the doors of our apartment and then find ourselves with the opposite of everything that she would tell us. Grew up with an environment where we had to learn how to protect ourselves physically, protect ourselves in every way, shape, or form. I remember her cleaning houses for rich people and counting on me. Here I was at 11 years old, helping my two sisters and my brother get ready, walking them to school so that I can walk to my school. They would always wait for me after school so that I can come down from my school, pick them up, and then go home and figure out how to keep the house in order. You know, it's a lot of responsibility to ask an 11-year-old. But life moved on, you know, and one of the things that we've noticed is as we started getting into the 12, 13-year-old mark, many of our friends and the kids that we were growing up with were getting lost in the community with drugs, you know, crime, you know, prostitution. And somehow we were kind of holding up in there. And I don't know, I had a conviction to not, I saw how my mom was suffering. I had a conviction to not put more suffering in her because it was limited. Even though she was working and she made the effort to clean houses for people around the area, it wasn't enough. You know, we couldn't stop going to the food bank or to churches for help because we just didn't have enough to cover the means of our apartment. But I did a couple of things right, and I can tell you as a Christian today, maybe that's where I put the glory. I think the glory goes to God, where somehow I just, even though I didn't have a walk with God at that time, I said, you know what, I'm going to stay away from drugs. I was smart enough to see what it was driving. You know, I was 13 years old when I saw my first buddy getting shot in the basketball court, and you know, I think that no 13-year-old should go through challenges like that. And then it became the norm where every year we were going to one or two funerals of literally kids, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids just getting shot.
And those children had been mixed up in the gangs and the drug trafficking?
Correct. Yeah, they were basically going in the wrong path. It was what we were exposed. It was the day-to-day. You know, unfortunately, there was very little good to see in the environment that we were exposed. So in their defense, it's all we knew. Somehow, you know, beyond the fact of staying away from the drugs, the other thing that I did is I had another conviction to stay in school. I always share this with a little bit of humor, but it's almost like when mom tells you eat the veggies because they're good for you. I actually didn't like school, but I knew school was good for me. So I stuck with that. And I remember walking from my community with all my thuggish young friends to school, and we would separate and we would have to go through this trash talk because every day, as soon as we got to the school, they went to their corner with their buddies and I went to the library with the smart kids because I wanted to try to, I knew that if I stuck with them, I was going to get in trouble. And and then after school, we would walk together. And of course, my sisters and my brother would be waiting for me in their school and I would pick them up and we would all walk back home.
You are wise beyond your years. You're listening to Grow Siouxland on KSEJ, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM, where our guest today is the plant manager at Smithfield Foods, Mr. Jose Pabon. Jose, originally from Puerto Rico, grew up in the projects in a very, very tough and impoverished environment. Somehow, you stayed in school, graduated from high school, stayed involved in sports, somehow avoided all kinds of trouble, crime, violence, and went on beyond high school. How did that happen?
Yeah, so that was probably, I would say, the most compelling part of when I started seeing light at the end of the tunnel. You know, I did participate with a program called Masificacion in the island where played a lot of different sports with them. Evidently, you know, clearly God gave me some attributes in basketball, and we had that opportunity where one day out of the blue, just right before about maybe 4 weeks before graduating out of high school, we got a visit in our home, and they gave us the information that I had earned a college scholarship to play basketball in the Pontifical Catholic University of Puerto Rico. So great moment for me at that time, Chris.
Well, and going on to college was incredibly rare for your neighborhood.
It was, you know, I literally represented out of the equation. It was like I'm 0.0001% of anyone in my community to even be able to go to where I went at that time.
Late in your senior year of high school, did you have any vision for going to college prior to receiving that scholarship?
No vision at all. I had talked to my mom about possibly serving this nation in the military, and that was kind of our goal. I wanted to continue to follow the good steps that life will give you. My options were limited. Jobs in Puerto Rico weren't there. College wasn't an option at the time, so I felt like serving the country would be the right way to go. But that it took a different course in my life.
So in the short time we have before the commercial break, Jose, tell me a little bit about what you studied in college and how it led to your first professional opportunity.
Yeah, so I went to college. Since I didn't have that time to even think about the fact that I was going to go to college, I had no idea what to declare on. So I had some counselors that helped me out with some seminars, and that's when I decided to go into business administration with a major in accounting.
And if you would, I know that you're very proud of the job your mother did. I know she's very proud of you as well as your siblings. Tell me a little bit about your mother, your siblings, and then your very own family.
You know, I'm grateful to them. I think for me as an inspiration, you know, first of all, is thanking my mom for never giving up on us, always giving us a great example, never left us alone, you know, just worked every single day, with everything she had to help us. You know, I also thank my wife, you know, again, for being my rock and being extremely supportive to my career and the growth of my kids. I cannot ask for a better wife. My kids, you know, they keep you going. Even when you're having a tough day, you realize there's a purpose behind it. You know, I have older children. She is in Birmingham, Alabama, doing really well. Out of the budget, so, you know, that's a success. I have two that live in the Boston area. They graduated out of psychology, so they're a psychology major helping suicidal and autistic kids, so super proud of them. Then we have an 11-year-old that is going to North Middle right now here in Sioux City, so he enjoys the school district here. So inspiring for me, all of them.
Well, I know that from our previous conversations, not only are you very, very proud of your family, I think your family is very, very proud of you. You're listening to Grow Siouxland. Our guest today is the plant manager at Smithfield Foods right here in Sioux City, Mr. Jose Pabon. And after a short commercial break, we're going to return to visiting with Jose and talk not only about his career progression, but also the organization he leads at Smithfield. We'll be right back after a short commercial break.
Looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial property in Siouxland? One call is all you need. NAI United, the largest and highest producing commercial real estate firm in Siouxland. Speak with Bo Bronger, Nick Manson, Aaron Rooney, Nate Connolly, or Chris Bogenried. NAI United has the answers to your questions for commercial real estate in all corners of Siouxland. All NAI agents are licensed in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. Put NAI United to work for you today. Go to NAIUnited.com and learn more. NAI United, uniquely positioned to serve your needs.
Welcome back to Grow Siouxland. Chris McGowan with the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce and the Siouxland Initiative, wishing you a very pleasant Saturday. If you were with us during the first half of the program, you know that our guest today is Mr. Jose Pabon. Jose is the plant manager at Smithfield Foods. In that capacity, he has responsibility for a staff that fluctuates between 650 and 850 employees. And Jose, I know how important your workforce is to you. We'll talk about that a little bit. Before we get there, in the first half of the program, you shared with us that you really grew up in a very challenging environment, and somehow you emerged, graduated from high school, went on to college. Tell me about your college experience, what you studied, and how it led to your first professional employment.
Yeah, as I mentioned, you know, Chris, thanks again. Just blessed beyond my deserving, Chris. You know, again, I went to college. It was not the easiest ride. I'll be honest with you. You know, kids from my community did not go to these universities. It was the second most expensive university to go on the island. In Puerto Rico, it's funny because we don't necessarily struggle with what I would call maybe racism, but over there, social discrimination can be pretty challenging. So when you're a kid from the college going to a university, you're a kid from the project going to a university of a high end, what means, you know, every kid is related to either a doctor, a lawyer, a business owner, and I didn't have any of that. So first question kids will ask you is like, where are you from? And I didn't like that question because I'm an honest kid. I'm an honest man. And when I had to answer, it was kind of hard to make friends in the university, but I did overcome that. And it was great. God has provided me with the resiliency to go through that. I graduated. I was actually able to start with a mom and pop organization, basically kind of working directly with the owners of a small company. But I realized that I had this beautiful diploma that God has blessed me with, and the avenues were very short for me. So I continue to try to put myself in the winner bucket and think about what are my options instead of just, you know, complaining about the government, complaining about blaming everybody else for the challenges of life. It's just always looking for ways to excel. So I decided, understanding that everything in our island is imported, I decided that every time we would buy groceries, beyond the nutritionals you find in the groceries, you will find the addresses of all the companies that will produce these products. And believe it or not, I started sending resumes to the U.S., and that's how I got my first shot to come to the U.S. in 2002.
That's an amazing story. And who did you begin your professional employment with in the U.S.?
Yeah, they will always be in my heart, but Tyson Foods was the first company that took their shot to bring me here to to the U.S.
And tell me about your career progression from Tyson to Smithfield.
So I started with Tyson Foods. I ended up in Northwest Arkansas, basically doing assignments in a facility in Springfield, also in Monette. But my concentration was mostly in Noel, Missouri. They were great to me, great organization. But the name evidently started getting out there, and the networking started getting out there. And I realized that the opportunities that this country was offering me were endless. And I started getting phone calls for bigger and better opportunities. And, you know, I always thought, you know what, this is the time for me to do everything I can for my wife and my family and maximize my growth and my career. And that's when I took a shot in 2006 with Kraft Foods. I had a chance to run two of their facilities as a business unit manager in Columbia, Missouri, also in Davenport, Iowa. They at the time after Davenport, you know, great success in both of those facilities as well. They had a third assignment for me to go to Newberry, South Carolina, but that's when Smithfield gave me a call. I was very uncomfortable. I actually felt like it wasn't the time for me to make the move, but I was compelled with how they treated me and how they approached me, and something told me take the chance. And I started with Smithfield Food in 2012, and I'm grateful for anyone that has helped me put food on the table. That's at the end of the day, that's how you have to feel. But I gotta say, Smithfield Food has been the most rewarding organization I've ever worked for.
You're listening to Grow Siouxland. Our guest today is the plant manager at Smithfield Foods in Sioux City, Jose Pabon. And Jose, we've talked a little bit about your background, and now you have responsibility for a very large organization, one of the leading employers in our community. You talked about the importance of your workforce. Tell me what they mean to you.
Yeah, the workforce is everything. The reality is, regardless of all the certifications and all the education and the vision that we have as leaders, all of that is worth nothing if you don't know how to treat your people. Ultimately, they are the number one asset of our organization. They're the ones that make it happen, you know, and the idea is to build those relationships with those folks. You gotta build the relationship so that you can earn that trust and build that foundation and get them to understand and believe that we are the employer of choice, to build an environment that no one wants to walk away from. And that is an intentional attribute that I always have instilled in every facility that I've been. Once you're able to provide and establish that relationship with your employees, then it's so much easier to set clear expectations. And the last thing they want to do is to let you down. Then after that, you got to understand that as leaders, it is 100% our responsibility to provide those folks, your folks, the tools they need to be successful.
Well, you talk about your employees and your commitment. I think it's important that people also know about your commitment to the community, your philanthropic and charitable work. I know that you guys have been incredibly dedicated to the Food Bank of Siouxland. Tell us a little bit about why that's so important to you and Smithfield.
Yeah, personally, a lot of times where you gravitate, Chris, is the things that you might have had experience in your life. And for us, with our poverty, if it wasn't for the food banks of Puerto Rico, we would have been hungry, and we were never hungry. We've had opportunities to have a good relationship with them. We've also been very engaged with the Boys and Girls Club. We're proud and to be partnering with them. Russ Dockin, one of our top executives, is from Sioux City, and he retired. Now he's basically helping our CEO, but amazing individual. Natural, born and raised in Sioux City, and grew through the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah, you know, Russ is a name I haven't heard in a while, but someone who graduated from West High School right here and went on to an incredibly successful career with this industry, and somebody we're proud of. And Russ, if you're listening, we say hello today. And in the final few minutes that we have together, Jose, I know workforce is incredibly important to you. If somebody's interested in joining your team or learning more about becoming part of the Smithfield family, where would you advise them to go?
Yeah, no, I encourage them to go to our website, to smithfieldfoods.com. You know, the website is very friendly to use. It also has a translation in Spanish for our all of our Latino brothers and sisters out there. And the application is easy to reach as soon as you select our facility with all the jobs that are available. Again, we want to become, and I believe we are, the employer of choice. We actually, as of right now, have over close to 100 people waiting to try to get into our facility. And it's just such a blessing that we continue to make the mark. It is a tough industry. People have to earn every penny they get. But we are also a very rewarding company. And it's awesome that people are willing to dedicate their lives to provide protein for this entire nation.
And speaking of the protein that you provide, Smithfield at this facility has a very specific product. Tell the listeners about what's unique about your product that comes from this plant.
Yeah, we are a barbecue plant. You know, most of the products that we produce, you're going to find them in your restaurants. We have a lot of different key partners out there, just to mention a few, like Texas Roadhouse, Panera, Qdoba, Cracker Barrel, Subway. There's so many of your primary chain restaurants out there that we all love to enjoy as Americans that Smithfield is partnering with them to provide awesome proteins for your enjoyment.
Yeah, I think people would be surprised to learn how many of the restaurants throughout the country take their protein from Smithfield, and specifically, you have a pre-cooked line that populates restaurants all from coast to coast.
From coast to coast, yeah. No, we're very proud of it. You know, I think it's awesome not only to be able to provide that protein, but have this incredible nation. That's part of it. It's just having that convenience to enjoy a nice protein, and you don't necessarily have to make it at home. You know, we're happy to make it for you.
Jose, we're so pleased to have you in our community, thrilled to have you as our guest this morning, and we hope that your family and friends throughout this country, and perhaps some of those who are in Puerto Rico, will have the occasion to listen to this broadcast, whether at the time it's broadcast or maybe as a podcast down the road. Any shout out to family or friends before we wrap up?
Absolutely. You know, I just want to thank my wife. I want to thank my kids for all the support. I want to thank my team here in Sioux City. You know, they're amazing. A shout out for every single one of them. All their devotion to take care of our people and replicate to produce a wholesome product for this industry and our country. Again, grateful to Smithfield, you know, rewarding company. Just my dream is to hope maybe I can retire with them one day. And, you know, again, thank you for Siouxland as well. They've been amazing to me and my family and the education for our son right now growing up. And it's a great city.
Well, Jose, we're proud to have you. We thank you for your kind words. We appreciate you spending part of your Saturday morning with us here at the Chamber of Commerce in our radio studios. And for Justin Barker, our producer, I'm Chris McGowan, thanking our guest, Jose Pabon. We'll be back with more on Grow Siouxland next Saturday morning. Go out and make it a great weekend.